What if the gospel Abraham believed is the same message you carry into your neighborhood, your workplace, and every sphere of influence? Right now, discover how ancient faith and modern courage collide when you stand for Jesus without compromise. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I hope you are having a great day. Today is just one of those days where you just want to say yes to Jesus, isn't it? And so I hope you're enjoying these daily devotions. If you are, subscribe, like, share, comment. And if you are in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. If you're not in that app, I want to encourage you to go to the Google Play or Apple App Store right now and download the Washington Defender app. You're going to find news sources. You're going to find the ability to hear all the scoop of what's happening in Washington State, and you'll find huddles. This is where you can get together with other people within your community, brainstorm of how to reach your community for Jesus Christ, how to be involved in the public square, love your neighbors, that kind of thing. So I just want to encourage you to be involved. What we don't need to do right now as Christians is hunker down and somehow try to hide our head in the sand like an ostrich, but we need to stand up tall, be proud of Jesus, not be afraid to speak the name above all names. Amen? So I'm glad that you are here today. We are continuing our series on Abraham, and today is Believed. If you haven't read the Abraham story, go to Genesis chapter 11 to chapter 25. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteous, Romans 4:22. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for the sake also to whom it would be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. And we're going to focus in on that word, those who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. So the question I have is, what do you believe? And 1 Corinthians 15, 1-8 tells us the gospel message. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, after he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. So let's talk about the public square application. First, the question is, what do you believe? Do you believe in the gospel that Paul preaches? This is so important. You have to ask yourself, how many gospels throughout history have been proclaimed? One. Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and appearance. It started with Abraham. God foreseen that he would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. So Abraham was preached the exact same gospel that is preached to you and to me. Isn't that powerful? We have the same gospel that was preached to Abraham. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, if you go to read Hebrews chapter 11, you're going to notice that Abraham believed in the resurrection. That means when he went up to offer his son Isaac on the altar, he believed God was going to raise him from the dead. Yet, what happened? God caught a ram in the thicket, and there was a substitutionary work that was crucified, and the son came down. Isaac came down from the mountain. So, in essence, in that very act of offering his son, and there was a substitutionary work, the gospel message was proclaimed. It was proclaimed in such a way that you begin to understand, like, wow, Jesus is eternal. So then he says you have to receive the gospel received. Now look at this. When you think about receiving the gospel, it's not by works. It's not by your own abilities. It's by grace through faith. It's your faith. It's taking God at his very word. Think about that for a moment. You receive the gospel by faith through grace. It's that present. You're like, man, God just gave me a present. It's his son, Jesus Christ. Thank you so, so very much. I receive the work of Christ by faith on the cross. That is the gospel message. That is what Abraham did when God said, you're unable to have kids. I'm going to make you able to have Isaac. And your descendants are going to outnumber the stars and the sand of the sea. You will be a great nation. And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. The gospel in which you stand. So you have to receive the gospel, but then you got to stand on the truth of the gospel. It doesn't do any good for you to say, I received it, and then you leave Jesus at home or on your nightstand or somewhere else in your life. You take Jesus with you every single step of the day. What do I mean by that? Some people want to have a Sunday-only Christianity, and that's like leaving Jesus on a nightstand. That's like, I pick Jesus up. He's my lucky charm. I rub him like a lucky rabbit foot, and I hope that I get all the wishes that I want. That's not standing in the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Standing there is when truth and lies are coming at you, you pick off the truth and you say, that is the truth of God's word. Jesus died for my sins and rose again that I may have eternal life. The gospel by which you are saved. Now you have to believe the gospel, it says. You have to receive the gospel. You have to stand in the gospel, and it's the gospel that saves you. There's only been one way to the Father from the very beginning. There's only one way that righteousness has been credited. It's through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And the gospel by which you are saved is the death, burial, resurrection, and appearance of Jesus Christ. We just studied that. The gospel, if you hold fast the words which I preach to you, it says, unless you believed in vain. You can have vain belief in God. You can have a moment of believing God and then coming back and somehow just saying, well, I'm not sure. Is it true? Or you can believe in him who is able to perfect you until that day. I just have sensed over and over as I've been recording these that God is saying he is perfecting you until that day. He's keeping you. The gospel you believed. And here's that word believe again. So we see that gospel. And then Paul says that we need to have a belief in God. Do you take God at his word that he is able to keep you until that day? Do you believe in the gospel message today as you go into your workplace? That the gospel isn't to be segregated off to just one portion of your life. That all five institutions that God created, individual responsibility, the family institution, which is marriage, the government institution, which is ministers of God, that's what he calls them, the government, the employer-employee relationship, right? Which one did I forget? Individual, family, marriage. I'll have to think about the last one. There's five of them I remember. And so when you think about, oh, the church, duh. I should remember that as a pastor. So when you think about the five things that God instituted, are you standing in the gospel in all five of those areas? No matter what it is. Are you standing in the humility that comes through the cross of Jesus Christ? Think about that for a moment. The gospel was first preached to Abraham. It's the same gospel. He believed it, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So what was preached to Abraham? First, that the Messiah, Christ, would die for our sins according to the scriptures. In the Abraham story, when he offered up Isaac, that was a telling of the death of the Messiah. You're like, wow, was it really? Think about it. The gospel is that Christ was buried. This is what Paul says. Death, burial. Now, what is the relationship of death to burial? When you are dead, you're buried. And when you're buried, it's the evidence that you're dead. They don't bury live people. I know in the movies, sometimes they do those kind of things, but those are just fake things. The reality is, when you're dead, you're buried. How do you know you're dead? Because you're buried. What's the evidence of being dead? You're buried. You get it? All right, so that's the first part of the gospel, an action and evidence. The second part is this, the gospel. Christ was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So we should see the resurrection of Jesus Christ in 3 days in the Old Testament. Jonah and the gigantic fish. How long was he in the belly of that gigantic fish? 3 days. Think about that. 3 days in the belly of a fish. Why? Because when Jonah went his own way and then God threw him overboard and he was swallowed by the fish, that was death, burial. You couldn't see Jonah in the fish. And then when God spit him out 3 days later onto the land, it was resurrection and appearance. See that? See the gospel message there? The death, burial, resurrection, appearance? It's interwoven throughout all of the Old Testament. When you look at the Old Testament sacrifices, there was the scapegoat. Two goats would come in. One would be sacrificed. The blood of that one would be placed on the other goat. And the other goat would be set out into the field to be released as a scapegoat. Death, burial, resurrection, and appearance. People would see that goat wandering with the blood and know that atonement for sin had been made. And what's the evidence that you are resurrected is that you appear to people. And Christ appeared to more than 500. Now, in the Old Testament, he only really had to appear to two people because the witness of two was great. But here he says, and he appeared to well over 500 brethren at one time. So that is our public square application today. So how do you take the gospel message into your workplace today? One, you take it in by living in humility. Pick up your cross daily and following after Jesus Christ. And two, you take it out in mission. In other words, you're going to share Jesus Christ with somebody today. You're going to tell them about the good news of Jesus. You're going to walk in that good news of Jesus. You're going to show them the good news of Jesus through how you're humble but bold. Lion and a lamb, you are both things all at once. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for those who are listening today. God, I pray that you would bless them with the gospel message, that we would believe like Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteous. But help us to believe in the gospel message, the death, burial, resurrection, and appearance of Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We believe that you have raised him from the dead. We believe that he paid the penalty of our sins on that cross. God, we stand in awe of you and your wisdom. We embrace the gospel message by faith through grace. We believe in you and your word. Go before us today. Surround us today. God, speak through us today. Let us lead the lost, the hurting, the down, the outcast, the unknown. Help us to minister to them today, to love people who are unlovable. God, we want to be pleasing to you and glorifying to you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.